In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Did you all see that mess that was out here today in front of the church, on the front of the church property? I think somebody was transporting a piece of furniture, like a couch or something, and it fell off of their vehicle and basically exploded right in front of the church. When I see things like that, to me, it's a reminder that we're not created for this broken world. It's a reminder that this world falls short of our God's destiny for us, His wish for us, His desire for us to live in a perfect world. It's a reminder that this is not our true home, but we belong in the heavenly kingdom. Thank God. I'm glad it didn't hit you. Thank God. But we live in a broken world where things like this happen, where there are messes, where there are disasters, where there are cataclysms, where people suffer all kinds of things, and where the world is polluted. Today, we continue to celebrate the feast of the meeting of the Lord, the encounter between our Lord and Simeon and Anna in the temple. And, of course, between our Lord and us, our encounter with God. The Greek word for the feast, epapandi, means encounter. It means to come face to face with another. And in this case, it's with the living God. It's such an incredible concept, you know, that God doesn't just remain hidden away somewhere. Up, you know, that people say the man upstairs. I hate that phrase, the man upstairs. Like, he's up there and he doesn't care about us down here. That's not true. Christ came into the world because of His love for us. He came to be face to face with us, and that's what this feast means, epapandi, encounter, face to face. So it's important to keep that in mind. But Simeon and Anna are waiting for the Lord. And Simeon, according to tradition, is really, really old. He was, according to the tradition, one of the translators of the Septuagint, which makes him a couple hundred years old by the time the Lord comes. So supernaturally, by the grace of God, he's kept alive because he wasn't sure whether the Messiah would really be born of a virgin when he was translating the scripture into the Septuagint. And so God's revelation came to him, you will not die until you see it happen. And so he lived and he lived. So he's there waiting in the temple. And also Anna, the prophetess, who it says was 84 years old. So they had lived long lives, both of them, waiting to see the Lord with their own eyes, to come face to face with Him. And so we see in Simeon and Anna an orientation towards the kingdom of heaven. They're not oriented towards this world. They're not oriented towards the fallenness and the brokenness, but at the same time, the attraction, the seduction of this world. They're not at all interested in that. They're interested in the kingdom of heaven. And those words of St. Simeon's, which he speaks when he holds the Lord in his arms, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." They're such incredible and inspiring words. And what is he saying? I've had enough with this life. I've had enough of all that this life has to offer. I've only been waiting to meet this one, and now there's nothing left but for me to go and to be in the kingdom, to await Him there, to spend eternity with Him there. So we find two people, Simeon and Anna, who are totally oriented towards the kingdom of heaven, and they realize what life is all about. Because what is life all about? According to St. John Maximovich, the purpose of this life is to prepare for the kingdom of heaven. So why are we here? To simply enjoy this world? No. We're thankful for all the good things God provides for us, for our life, for our nourishment, for our well-being. We're thankful for that. You know, we don't want to suffer just to suffer. That's not the point. We enjoy the good things God gives us. But our primary orientation as Christians is towards the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're here. That's our purpose, to prepare for that. I know a certain 90-year-old who, if you ask her how she's doing, she says, "I'm ready to meet Jesus. But if he wants me to stay here for longer, that's fine, whatever he wants. But I'm ready to go meet Jesus." What a beautiful attitude to have. I would say that would be something for us to emulate, that we all would all want to have that kind of response. How are you doing? What's your life like? You know, I'm ready to go. Now, maybe I'm not ready to go. Maybe I have things I need to put in order in my house, in my life, in my heart, to get ready to go and meet the Lord. But at least I should be oriented towards that as the goal, to be ready, to prepare myself, to keep my eyes fixed on the kingdom of heaven. You know, that's more natural the older we get. We start to have gray hairs, we start to have aches and pains, you know? We start to be a little bit less comfortable in certain ways. We've sort of enjoyed certain things in life and, you know, tried different things, and we're starting to think more in terms of the death that's approaching. But when we're young, and when we're healthy and everything's going our way, it's very difficult to be oriented that way towards the kingdom of heaven. And it can be very attractive to be fixated on the world. And that's exactly what the world tries to do to us. It tries to seduce us, to attract us, and to trap us, to cause us to desire the things of the world rather than the things of God, the things of heaven. And from the beginning until now, that's what the world has been doing. From the time of the temptation by Satan in the Garden of Eden until now, this is what the world does. It tries to entice us. Look at this shiny thing over here. When you watch the Super Bowl this evening, as I know many of you will, pay attention to the commercials, if you watch the commercials, and pay attention to what the commercials are saying about life. What do those commercials say the purpose of life is? I can guarantee they're not saying that the purpose of life is to prepare for the kingdom of heaven. They're saying that the purpose of life is to enjoy the things of this world, to have a good time, to be very, very attractive so that everybody looks at you, so that you can be the center of attention. You know, and they're offering things that are going to make you happy in this world. A new car, you know, the right kind of beer to drink, all of these kinds of things, you know, like this is going to make you happy. This, I don't know, hair care product or whatever it is. It's ridiculous, right? It really is ridiculous to think that if we buy that thing, it's going to make us happy. It's going to fulfill our life. No, if we've lived long enough, and it doesn't take very long, like one day, you know, of paying attention, we realize that those things will never make us happy. That whatever we try, other than God, leaves us feeling empty, always empty. So it seems ridiculous, but we still get enticed by those things. Now imagine this. Imagine you're a college student and you've been away at college, and now you're on your way back home. It's summer break, and you're going home to see your family, to see your friends back home. And you've been really homesick. You've been missing home. You know that that's, in a very important way, that's where you belong. And so now you're all excited to head back home, and you're a little bit low budget, so you have to take the bus. So you're taking the bus, and you stop at a particular bus station. And there in the bus station, you go inside, and you see there's always, I don't know if you've ever traveled by Greyhound, but they always have vending machines, and there's a snack counter, and you can go and order some snacks and things like that. So let's say that you really like that vending machine that you see there in the bus station, and you really like those snacks at the snack counter, and you start meeting some people there in the bus station, and the bus station starts to seem like a great place. And so all of a sudden, you just feel like you have to stay there in that bus station because it's so attractive. And so you call home, and you call your parents, and then you explain to them, "Mom, Dad, I was on my way home, but I got to this one particular bus station, and you know, I went to the snack counter and they have these great chili cheese dogs, and you know, and I met some really interesting people, because interesting people hang out in bus stations, and you know, and I love it here, so I'm not going to come home. I'm going to stay here indefinitely." Sounds ridiculous, right? But that's what we do. That's what we do, brothers and sisters, when we get fixated and focused on the things of this world and we forget our home. our real home, our real father, you know, our real family, where we're headed. That's not to say that this isn't our real family. It is. But in other words, we allow our heart to become attached to the things of this world, which are never going to bring us joy, and are never going to bring us peace, and are never going to bring us the kingdom that our hearts really long for. So we have to be careful about that. The gospel today speaks on a similar theme about squandering our life. It's this story of the man who traveled to a far country, and he called his servants and he delivered goods to them. And he said, "Here are these goods, and take these and trade. Use them for something good." So to one he gives 5 talents, and to another he gives 2, and to another he gives 1. And notice, the expectation is proportionate. The one who has 5 produces another 5, and the one who has 2 produces another 2. And he doesn't expect the master, doesn't expect the one who only has 1 to produce 5 talents. He doesn't expect that. He really is fair, and he really is good, and he really is loving. But the one with the 5 invests the 5 and produces another 5. And the one with the 2 invests the 2 and produces another 2. But the one who receives the 1, what does he do? He says, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there is what is yours." He knew that? How did he know that? To me, it sounds like an excuse. And that's precisely what that is. What was the real reason why he didn't invest his 1 talent? What was it? "I was afraid." What do you think?
Didn't want to make the effort.
Didn't want to make the effort. Exactly. That's exactly right. Why? It's just like with thinking of the things of heaven. What do people do? "I don't want to think about my death. I don't want to think about what's going to happen after that. I just want to focus on what's easy here." Why? Because if I think about death, then I realize there's work that I have to do inside of me to prepare myself for that, right? So it's scary, but really it comes down to you don't want to do the work. You don't want to do the preparation. You don't want to struggle. You want it to be easy. So what do? We kid ourselves. We pretend like it's not there. We pretend like we're never going to die, like we're going to live forever and we can just enjoy everything in life. And no, I don't want to think about that. It's very often the case that I speak to people who, that's creepy to think about those things, you know? No, God forbid. We have to be aware of our true home. And yes, it takes work to get there. Yes, we have to struggle. But it's infinitely worth the struggle. It's beyond worth the struggle. It's the most worthwhile thing we will ever do to make that journey, to take every step that it takes to get there. And there's no reason why we can't, because our God who created us is doing everything we need to help us make that journey. So that man, the one who claimed that it was because the master was unfair and that he was harsh and that he would judge and all of those things, was really just making excuses because he didn't want to work. That's exactly right. And so what did he end up doing with the talent he was given? Nothing. He squandered it. He wasted it. How often do we squander what God has given us? That's certainly a temptation and a possibility that we will squander the time that we have, that we will ultimately squander our lives. But God forbid, may we not do that. May we recognize our true purpose and our true home and our true goal and be on the journey. If only we're on that journey, the Lord will enable us to make the journey successfully. So let's go back to Simeon. Simeon held the Lord in his arms, and he recognized the true purpose of his life, and he had already lived a life that was very much dedicated and focused on the Lord, on the Messiah and preparing for the Messiah. But here he was finally at the end of his life with the Lord in his arms, and he recognized, this is it. I don't need anything else. This is the source of my life. I can die now in peace. Right? What a beautiful thing to be able to hold the Lord in your arms and to say, I don't need anything else. And brothers and sisters, we may not have that opportunity specifically that Simeon had to hold the Lord as an infant in our arms, but do you know we have an equally great, if not greater, opportunity at every liturgy? Because what do? We hold the Lord, his body and blood, inside of us. We receive it. Just like Simeon receives the Lord, we receive the Lord. And if we will orient ourselves towards the kingdom of heaven, if we will orient ourselves towards recognizing, receiving the Lord's body and blood as the greatest joy and most important event of our whole life, the thing that we are living for, if we will recognize it as the foretaste of the kingdom of heaven, which is truly what it is, then we'll be well on our way to being able to say with Simeon, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Amen.